Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and we're going to continue on in a message I began sharing a couple days ago, Thy Kingdom Come. And we were taking an overview of some of the important events in the Old Testament. And for a moment, I'd like to focus on God's choice of making promises. We looked yesterday at Genesis, the 13th chapter, where God was very specific. After Lot had separated from him, he told him to look to the north, to the south, east and west, and he said, I will give your descendants. Remember, at this time, Sarah and Abraham, advanced in years, were totally childless, but God promised him something that was in the natural, impossible. He promised him in an inheritance. He was going to have, they would have a son, Isaac, which did occur against all natural possibilities, and that through this line, God would establish his people, the Jewish people, and not only the Jewish people, but he was creating a family, Jew and Gentile alike, where the kingdom of God would be established in the earth. Now, we are finite creatures, and because our time is so limited on the earth, we tend to be very impatient. God is outside of time. When he makes a promise, it could be years before it is fulfilled. Does that mean that it's not true, that it won't be? But God has a divine strategy. And to establish his kingdom, which is his ultimate plan, when Jesus returns, this is all, we are, all the centuries of history, we're all in preparation for the final plan that God has for his people, for the earth. And I'd like us to look at God's theme of promise. When he promises us something, now we see this, and that's why it's such a benefit to look at the lives of the patriarchs, of the saints, the heroes of the Old Testament, because we can see that God indeed was faithful. God is faithful in our lives, not in the time plan that we have in mind. We are finite creatures. We're very impatient. We want it yesterday, and especially the world we live in, everything has to be instant practically. But in God's divine strategy, he has a time and season for everything. All right, so when we looked at the 13th chapter of Genesis, God made this incredible promise to Abraham. As the stars of the heavens, so will your descendants be. That was an amazing thing. And yet, the wonderful thing about Abraham, the father of the faithful, is he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. When it was utterly impossible in the natural, he still believed God because God promised it. And so I want us to have that same kind of tenacity, that there may be promises that are in the Word of God, promises that you've held on to, and it's not happened yet in your life. Don't be impatient, because God is faithful. He knows the right time and the right season. So, going on now, specifically to God's theme of promise, God promised a son, and that was fulfilled in Isaac, who was the child of promise. And then, of course, the descendants of Isaac, there was Jacob. Jacob, of course, his name was changed to Israel, and his sons, out of his sons, the 12 tribes of the Jewish nation were established. God, remember, had told Abraham, his descendants, would not only be as in multitude as the stars of the heavens, but they also would be 400 years in Egypt. 400 years. And then God raises up Moses. There's this amazing departure of the this scenario that goes on with Pharaoh and the children of Israel, and they leave Egypt in the Exodus, and they enter the Promised Land. And then, of course, we see Joshua, after they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, that old generation died out, and then Joshua had the task of entering Canaan. And so this was a very important time, because going way back to the time of Abraham when God promised this, then this was a very significant time. And Moses told Joshua that this, you know, God was going to fulfill his word. It was actually the beginning of the manifestation of God's promise to Abraham. And then we see in the fifth chapter of Joshua, I'd like to read just a few verses. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that was the first city they conquered, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him, said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and wanted to know what he would have to say. So basically, God is saying he wasn't for Israel or against her foes, but he was captain of the host. So the Lord comes to champion his own cause. That's true today, beloved. His own right hand will bring him the victory in righteousness, in justice, and in holiness. And then in the 11th chapter of Joshua, we look at verse 23. It says, Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Praise God. So he took the whole land. The army marched to the north, south, west, and eastern borders of Canaan. They defeated 31 kings and their strongholds. They established unquestioned control over the Promised Land without one horse or chariot. And actually, his commission, the commission of Joshua, was not to entirely destroy the Canaanites at once. There are a couple of verses in the Old Testament, and I'm just going to share the Deuteronomy 7, verse 22. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once. Why? Lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. So it was to be a gradual thing. And that was also true in Exodus. I won't take the time to read it or turn, but Exodus 23, 27 through 30. And so God had a plan. It wasn't immediate. And they were the individual tribes to were to conquer the territory that was assigned to each one of them. That when the conquest was complete, the land was divided when the whole congregation assembled at Shiloh, and from then on, the task was for each individual tribe to conquer their territory, destroy the Canaanites, their idols, and worship centers. And so, while there's even an application for us, because Jesus has done the work for us, but we have the responsibility to destroy the work of the enemy in our own territory, if you will. Jesus has gotten us total victory in every area, but we are to what? Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So we rely on the finished and accomplished work of Jesus, but there are things that we have to do in terms of salvation. I mean, God promised the land to Abraham and to his descendants, but there had to be warfare. They had to conquer the individual tribes. It wasn't, God just didn't wave a magic wand. There's things that, as application, we have to do. Unfortunately, in the case of Israel, we saw that many of them just chose to compromise as a result, that they were scattered throughout the nations. But God is bringing his people back to Jerusalem, and there is going to be, before the end comes, a great revival among the Jewish people. Now, I'd like to begin by now looking at the reign of David. There's many things that we can learn in terms of establishing the kingdom. Remember, I shared, if you caught the first broadcast this week, there were divine directives that God had given us. We're to preach the gospel. That was Jesus' command, his last words in the final chapter of Matthew. And then when he gave us the Lord's Prayer, he said, we're to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God has not taken away that mandate. We need, as the children of Israel, how to wage effective warfare. And in our case, of course, it's spiritual warfare. Jesus promised that the gates of hell will not prevail, the enemy will not have victory, and we're to occupy until Jesus returns. We're to keep ourselves busy with the work, with the matter, with the business of establishing his kingdom. And we're going to find out what that actually means. But I'm just going to begin a few thoughts on the reign of David. He was a man after God's own heart. He was chosen. He was a warrior. And they were a warrior generation in his time and era. It was the epitome, if you will, the culmination of Israel's rich spiritual heritage that was demonstrated through the life of King David. The borders of Israel expanded to the greatest area that it had ever known. And of course, King David was a type of Christ. And so we're going to look, starting tomorrow, we're going to look at some of the things that King David did and apply it to establishing the kingdom in our hearts and in our world today in a spiritual dimension. I hope you'll be able to be with me, but if you also, I always give this invitation, if you have prayer needs, this is a ministry of prayer, intercession, and correspondence. I ask you to share your prayer needs. I'll be privileged to pray with you and send back whatever God gives to be a blessing. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you and pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.